Perek Chof Aleph. We'll really start from Pasuk Chet over here. We're doing Nevos. We're doing Nevos over here. So Nevos refused to give his field over to Achav. He felt it was a chet to give over his de'achuza, the sada that he was getting from his inheritance. Said that it wasn't a good thing to be able to do. Achav came back and he was upset. And we said before, he was the king. He should have been able to knock people out. But it could be that the king of Israel didn't have the same power as the king of Eretz Yisrael, that's number one, of Yehuda, number one. Or number two, it could be that Achab never really consolidated his kingdom in such a way where he could show that power and, you know, abuse that power over other people. Either way, Izebel, who was not Jewish, and she came from a prominent type of family, when she came in, she looked over.
Yoram's not Jewish.
That's a good call. Maybe she was converted in a decent type of way, but didn't really care about what he was doing or something like that.
That conversion was different then?
Matt would see the Rambam. Halachically, it would be an issue.
It was just like they determined, it took a while to determine that it's Moavia and not Moavia and so on. It could have been, it took them a while to decide that, okay, we're only the woman, and that's what they think, that's what someone decided.
That already had a reason. We'd have to have a Sifa for that, some Gemara, some Medrash that would tell us that. Otherwise, no. Well, otherwise, we wouldn't have that. Because otherwise, we don't have any, how would we have any record of that?
No, all we have is the record of what the final law says nowadays. But who says that,
No, you'd have to have something. If there was some machlokas somewhere.
Maybe everyone came to an agreement at a certain point after this.
That'd be weird. Okay, we'd have to see that somewhere. Show me anybody, anything that would say that. Otherwise, I'd say we can't say that.
Really proof that it was.
No proof. But that's what I would say. There's no reason to say such a thing. What's up, Eddie?
What was the name of the guy that drew the sword, like in that Moavis argument?
Who drew the sword? Domi and Achitofel?
Wait, but there is a
reason. In the base matters, he drew the sword. Like in the Moavis argument, like. Someone drew a sword. Anyone who said that they're a real apostle, I will tell them right now.
I don't know.
This would be a reason to think that.
I don't think so. That's not enough of a raya. It's not a raya. It could be that she was converted, but converted in the same way that Shimshon converted his wives, which the Rambam says was done without Bezin's permission or anything like that. So now, either way, so what happened was like this. She says, she wrote Sfarim in the name of Achav, and she signed it with the signature of Sfarim. She sent these Sfarim over to the Zakenim, Balachorim, and to the people that were in charge of the city that were living with Navos. She said, "Kirutzom, I want you to make a fast day." Though she was Navos Brosham, put Navos in front of all the people. So good to see you. Brosham, no, dude, you came 8 minutes late. Get over here. You said 9 o'clock.
This is all being recorded.
Moshiva's Navos Brosham, I know, it's true. Moshiva's Navos Brosham, they put Navos in the front of the people. They sat two people that were evil next to him in this fast day. In this fast day, they had two people that were evil that were standing right next to him. And they had him testify saying, "Berachta Elohim, you have cursed out God, Vamelech, as well as the king." They brought him out, they gave him skill, and he died. Now, there were two things that were over here. There were two things that were important over here. Number one, it had to be on a fast day. The reason why a fast day is because they were already upset about something that was happening. So therefore, they would be even more shocked by the alleged crime that Nevos was going to commit over here. Number two, the ones who sat with Nevos were the friends, the elders, etc. They were scared to death of Izebel. That's number one. Everybody was scared to death of Izebel. Izebel was wicked. She was a wicked person, willing to do whatever she wanted in order to make sure that things were going to happen the way she wanted it to. Now, Nevos had to have both. He has to be accused of, number one, cursing out a Kadosh Baruch Hu, which would carry the punishment of Chiyuv Misa without anything else, and inciting the people. If it was just cursing out the king, then because Nevos was so important, maybe people would have listened to what he was saying, and perhaps that would have shown some type of lack of kavod in the king itself. Instead, he cursed out God, which got everybody so angry. And because she then said, and he cursed out Achav, then it came out to that his children wouldn't inherit from him. Rather, it would be given over to the king's coffers, and that would be Achav. Achav would be able to get the land, and everything would go straight to him.
Why did he want the land so badly?
It was right next to his, and it was a perfect place for a garden. His entire area that he had from his father or his grandfather, whatever it was being used for his palace. So therefore, he had no land that was near his. So he said to Nevos that I'd give him something different, but he wanted that specific land which was right by his kingdom, to be able to make something over there. That's that. Some say that Achab killed his children as well. As we'll see later on from what happens, that Achab killed everybody. And Yehu ben Nimri, when he killed Yoram, we're going to say that because you killed Nabos and his children, or because your father killed Nabos and his children. So we'll see what happens over there. Pasuk Yud Aleph. So the men of the city, the elders, the people that were in charge, they did as Izebel had said to them, as was written in the messages that he sent to them. Karutzon, they proclaimed the fast. Moshe was Nevel's Rosh Om, they put Nevel's in the front of the people. And there came two men that were evil. They sat down next to them. Yiduan Shebelial as Nevel's. Then they testified, these evil people, to, about Nevel's. Negadam opposite the people. Lamor saying, Berach Nevel's Elim HaMelech. He has cursed out God as well as the king. They brought him outside the city, and they stoned him with stones by Yamos, and he died. Nevel's has been stoned and he has died. That was the thing that they did everything over here. That's amazing. Izebel sent over the plan. She didn't do anything. She said, this is what you should do, and they did it to a T. They did not want to go against anything that she had said whatsoever. Now, why did Nevel's get punished like this? What did he do wrong? Why did he get punished in Shemayim for what he had done? So, it's an unbelievable measure that Nevel's had a beautiful voice that he used in the Beis HaMikdash to sing all of God's praises. Okay? Remember, this is from Bnei Yisrael. So you wouldn't normally go to the Beis HaMikdash. You could go if you really wanted, the same way that Eliyahu and Abi, you'd assume, would have gone to be able to go there. And that way, he brought even greater honor to Hashem's name by being able to sing these types of praises. This time, he did not go. And didn't go, meaning this past year or this past time that there was a chag or whatever it was. So he didn't go, which means he didn't follow the standards that he had set for himself. For whatever reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt that there was a big enough sin to be able to kill Nevel's. The punishment was to be deprived of the protection that is normally given to those who make Aliyah L'Regel. That's number one. Mida Kenegan Mida.
He was using to deprive the protection for some other Avera, but not that he was tied Misa for not going.
Well, the Mida Kenegan Mida that was there, could be. Yeah, could be. But the sin that's mentioned is this. The Mida Kenegan Mida that's given for Nevel's is, since when a person does Aliyah L'Regel, he shouldn't have to worry about his land being taken, about it being commandeered by other people. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promise you, you'll go back to your field and everything will be okay. So this time, when he didn't go, his land was taken. His land was taken away from him, and that would be the Mida Kenegan Mida. It could be also that the reason why he was punished is because he didn't take the proper precautions when he knew that the king was out to get him. He knew that Achab wanted the land. He knew that Achab was a dangerous person. He knew that his devil was even more dangerous. He didn't take any precautions when it came to this, and he did that.
Run away. Oh, but he lives next door to the king.
Yeah, you'd have to run away. Meaning, keep your sada, make a machal wherever you are, and run away. That eventually you'll be able to come back. That probably would be the way. So, Pasuk Yud text above. By Yikishmol Yizebel Kisuk on Nevos, when Yizebel heard that Nevos was killed by Yamos, by Tomri Yizebel Achav, she said to Achav, Kum Reishes Kerem Nevos Yisraeli, get up and inherit the vineyard of Nevos Yisraeli. Shem Ein Lo Sesma Chol Kesef. He didn't want to give it to you, so for money, Kei Nevos Chai Kimes. For Nevos is no longer alive. He is dead. It's easy to be not alive when you're dead. It's an easy line over there, but regardless. Nevel's is a person who owned the field right by Achav, who refused to give him the field whatsoever. Oh, yeah, that is that. The Misora is that it could be that kings, even if they were allowed to take things, they cannot take real estate. It's possible that was never included in the mitzvos of a king, that a king is allowed to take fruits, he's allowed to take people, he's allowed to take, you know, armies and horses and things like that, but he was never allowed to take actual real estate, which was a stay ahuza from their parents.
And if it was there. For his debtor, it means he takes land.
Mm-hmm. He could vineyards, and olive groves, but not houses. So Achav could have taken all the produce of Nevel's vineyard, but he couldn't take the actual land itself. You can take the stuff that's in it, but that's that. That's possible also, but he wouldn't be able to fully take claim of the land itself. That's the idea behind it. Others say that he wasn't a legitimate king. When he heard that Nevel's had died, he went down to the field to go inherit it. The word of God came to Eliyahu and Navi saying, Go down and meet Achab, the king of Israel. Now, I don't know if that was more tongue-in-cheek, he considers himself the king of Israel, or whether it really is, he is the king of Israel. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Nevos. He went down there to inherit it. You should say to him, saying, this is what God said, you have murdered, and then you have taken the person's land. And then you should say to him, saying, so says God, in the place where the dogs licked up the blood of Nevos, then so too will the dogs lick your blood in its place. So Nevos died in that way, so too you will die, right, in the exact same way. And that's the idea behind it. See, here's the deal. The stira that Nevos had was all the worse. He had mercy toward Ben-Hadad. He had let the king of Aram live. He said, you're my brother. His actual brother, meaning his actual relative, he showed no mercy to whatsoever just because he wanted his land. It's unbelievable. You're showing mercy to him, but not to him. Yeah.
In the story, exactly. Though, it wasn't Asa, it was Ezebel did everything behind his back. He kind of like, okay, do what you need to do, but it wasn't.
So that's a good call. The fact that Achav is always involved in these things, and we'll see that he's going to have a chance for tshuva, which he does do tshuva over here. Nonetheless, since he allowed his wife to do it, and it could be it was more implicit or compliance with his wife, allowing her to do such things.
He knew exactly what she was doing.
Yeah, it doesn't say that. But it's clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels that he was 100% involved. Otherwise, the Navi wouldn't be called into the case. Now, Achav said to Leo, on the outside, you're right, it probably looked that way to the people. It wasn't Achav, it was Ezebel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew it was Achav.
Well, to the outside, it was the court. The court sent him to death.
Yes. No. But I mean, to the outside, if somebody's just looking, from the Zakenim's point of view, well, Achav's not involved in this. But the truth is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Achav is 100% involved in this. I'm sorry? They probably had one by Achav also. I would assume they had something. If it wasn't a Sanhedrin, they had something. Achav said to Leo, my enemy has found me. You gotta love Achav. Because right after Leo, he does not care. But Yomer Matsasi, I have found you. Yan his makir kolasas rabbi and Hashem, because you have sold yourself to do evil in the eyes of Hashem. He may be a lekha raw. I'm going to bring to you evil. And I'm going to destroy after you. I will cut off from Achav anything that urinates upon the wall, and there will be nothing left. Everything is gone. Everything will be gone in Israel by everything that Achav has. I will make your house like the house of Yerubim ben Nevat, who conveys Basha ben Achia, and like the house of Basha, the son of Achia, because of the anger that you have provoked, and because you have made Bnei Yisrael sin. So the first thing he did is he didn't do any tshuva whatsoever. He provoked Elio and tried to get it a little bit further. Begam li Ezebel divar Hashem lemor, and so too Ezebel. Hashem spoke saying, "Akolim yoklus Ezebel bechil Yisrael." The dogs will eat Ezebel in the moat of Yisrael, which is a little bit more disgusting than them licking up your blood after you die. Yeah. Hames laachav beir yoklu akolim. Those that die of Achav in the city will be eaten by dogs. Hames basari yoklu opashmaim. Those who die in the fields will be eaten by the birds of the heavens. Now, there's no question. Ezebel, right, was going to have a terrible, terrible time over here, and his children, because they had not inherited any of the good qualities of their father, rather they were just completely evil, and everything they did were going to continue in this way. There was no one like Achav who sold himself to do what was evil in the eyes of God. Sure, he sat to Oso Ezebel Isha because he was so seduced by Ezebel, his wife. He acted very abominably by going after the idols. He did exactly what the Amori were like when it came to Bnei Yisrael. How in the world can he follow idols? He had just listened to a Navi in the war of Aram. But we said before, Achav was a complicated creature. He's a very strange person. He believed in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but he also believed he had a taiva for Avodah Zarah and followed after with everything that he had.
He had a taiva for it.
Well, the wording of Achav is the following. Achav himself, that it says that, first of all, he wrote on the gates of Shomron, Achav denies the God of Israel, therefore he has no part in the God of Israel. That's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. One of the, I think it's Rav Ashi, was once teaching about how evil he was. One night Achav came to him and said to him, why are you doing this? Why did you say it? Okay, so number one, Achav came to one Tana and he said to him, why do you do that? It surely says that Ezebel led me astray. That's one. The other time, right, Achav came to him and said, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. I would have believed, but I had taiva. I had something that pulled me apart.
Is it possible to say that because it's so commonplace, I guess, like, interacting with Nevi'im and so that, like, that's why I think...
That it got so used to it.
Yeah, it didn't have as much impact in theory for us to, you know...
I would say even more so. I would say a little bit more. I've always thought, Zet Luma Zet Nas Asalo Kim, and it's always that way. When you're so used to a prophet telling you exactly what's going to be, you want to find that on your own, even if you don't have a Navi. And Avodah Zarah was a way of doing that. It was some type of Ouija board or some type of magical properties that allowed you to do things or think things that you wouldn't have gotten otherwise. So since they were so used to hearing Nevi'im telling them everything about the future, they did everything they could to find out the future if they couldn't get it from a Navi from any other way. That's probably what Asaph was so into. I don't know. Listen, honestly, there's a billion people in the world who are enticed by the idols of Buddhism.
Are they doing it? I don't have to get out of taiva.
I don't know.
They're doing it out of tradition.
I don't know. I don't know. I cannot think what they're thinking.
No,
I don't know.
You have a taiva for a hamburger or for a woman. You don't have a taiva for an idol.
It's like Gemara says that, though there is no real taiva for it anymore. I don't know. Maybe there is a drive to get to know a god, to have that closeness.
That would be better just to have like some sort of like meaning or spiritual existence.
Something.
Is it necessary? But it's not necessarily like, oh wow, that gold statue I have to buy.
With the manifestation. Something that you could, wow, this is my, you know, my manifestation of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to me. Which is awesome.
Like, if you think about it nowadays, and
for them also, for them also,
it's very different. But even, you know, like as seen as secular Israelis, they love, you know, like necklaces and bracelets. And although it's not like a bodhisattva, it's something to hold on to. It's something to grasp.
That's a good call. You have that Israeli, like, you know, the Israeli flag around you or whatever. Though,
but like,
that's,
you know,
not a stand. Not really saying it all. Nobody's not saying it that way.
I even know myself. Like when I first went to Israel, I was like, oh, like I feel like, you know, spiritual because I have this like mug and dove necklace or something, because it's something I can grasp.
I hear it. Yeah, I don't totally understand it, but that can take its a form. I hear that. Right. What are you going
to
say, Addy?
Is it also to use a Ouija board?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah?
Yeah, in every which way, even if it's a fake. Even if it's a total fake.
So would you be the real one? I mean, like, the real Ouija?
I don't know. You know, let's say that it is real. I have absolutely no idea. But even if it's completely a fake, if anything, it's a chizzenayim. But listen, if the Rambam holds that none of this stuff existed, it's in Kufayin Tes and Shulchan, okay, he holds that none of it existed, it's still us to do any of them, even though they don't work. I mean, that's the amazing part. The Rambam says it's us to do any of it, even though it doesn't work, because the chizzenayim is only one of them.
What's
you still can't do kishif and center and things like that. What?
What's
chizzenayim is when you do something that's like you're fooling a person. You're so quick, you're able to do, like, yeah,
sleight of hand.
Illusionary or sleight of hand type of things. Or, like, you can make things disappear. Yeah, theoretically. 100%.
What magic tricks?
Yeah, I mean, the famous Ramosha. Ramosha Toskin said, although he would understand it to be different, because he said, if you were really good at something and really quick, like Naftali, was it usher for Naftali to run as fast as he could to Mitzrayim? Was it usher for Shimshon to show his strength? Clearly, there are ways of doing these things, and it's not called a chizenayim, but he says, because every other Rishon and Achron argues and says that it's still usher, what can I do?
But I thought it was,
I can't
matter. I thought it was the Rishonim who held that there is such a thing as real magic. They would hold that a
even the Rambam.
Fine.
Even the Rambam. Oh,
no.
According to those.
The Rambam holds there is real magic.
So therefore, I can say nine. It's fine.
The Rishonim will hold that there is such a thing.
But that's only possible.
What?
But that's only possible.
No, I know. I'm just saying that.
The problem is that the one time when you don't want a possible like the Rambam, we do. That's that.
Saying this is usher.
That's very good. Wow. So good. Yes.
Right here.
Yeah, I know. Right here in front of us. Stop it. You've done three already. Okay, here we go.
It's okay. I can see the bottom.
My father was really, really, still is. He's extremely quick and really, really used to do parties all the time with what he used to do. He used to do unbelievable. He still does the pencil thing. Sticks the pencil up his nose and pulls it out of the ear. He's unbelievably quick with it.
Yeah,
but he won't do it anymore. He got a psak from Rabbi Konstantin Divan, and when he got his psak, he said, all right, I'm going to stop. But he got a psak not to do it anymore. But he was, I remember when I was a little kid, I could not understand what he was doing. Couldn't understand it. He had all these card tricks. He had all these crazy magic tricks, and he did everything. He used to come to every party, all these different parties, and he was always there. It's unbelievable. But
what's that?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I have seen certain things that he's done. There are certain things that you got to wonder, like, what in the world do they do? So either way, that's the idea behind it. Here's another thing, by the way, a really unbelievable thing. Ahav knew, according to the Ne'am Lois over here, he knew about the 100 prophets that Ovadia had hidden and did nothing about it. He knew that if Yizevel found out about it, she would kill them all. But he continued to allow food to go from the royal kitchen toward those 100 people and was willing to do it. Yes, from the royal kitchen, Ovadia was taking food from there and was willing to do it. Even so, he worshipped Baal with all the enthusiasm of any priest of Baal you could possibly do. It's lit unbelievable.
No, but I mean, Lahago is not on the same level as the emperors are in killing people, but
nonetheless.
There's people who are not religious, but they're traditional. They have a sympathy towards religious people. They will support it, even if they themselves are going and driving.
Almost all of them, so to speak, even though they're willing to do it. It's something that I don't fully understand, but I'm really very into.
You understand?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about Akhav, I don't care.
But somebody like this. Traditional.
I know a lot of people like that. Like, I once were talking about opening a mall in Tel Aviv. My dad's friend, he doesn't work, but he goes like every soccer game in the passion, all over the country. I never heard somebody vehemently argue why they're opening against them opening a mall in Tel Aviv on Shabbos. What's wrong with these people? They're crazy. It's Shabbat. It's everything.
I'm like, Shabbat. They didn't look right. Unbelievable. I tell you, it's not like when a friend of mine, I stayed in Tel Aviv for Shabbos at a friend, one of my friend's parents, friend's uncle's house, whatever it is, and we were walking down, and we were, I guess, near the beach. I don't know where we were. We were walking somewhere, and a guy in a car pulled over to the side of the road, came up to us and said, "You don't belong here. Go that way." Just like, are you kidding me? The guy, I understand. I guess I get it. Yeah, Shabbat Shalom. Yeah. 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 After Akav heard these things, you know, honestly, I should tear my clothes when something like that happens. Vayikra begadav, he tore his clothes. Vayesem sakov, he put sackcloth on his flesh. Vayotzom, and he fasted. Vayishkav basok, he slept in sackcloth. Vayhalachot, and he walked barefoot. That's what Akav did. He decided. He sincerely regretted. He went out. He did that. He even called for Yehoshaphat, says the Gemara. He asked Yehoshaphat to come to him and give him Malkus 3 times a day, every day. That's what he asked Yehoshaphat to do.
Wait, Yehoshaphat from
Malkus? Yehoshaphat, the king of Malkus Yehuda. They were friends by then.
Yeah, I know, but 3 times a day, he's going
to... Yeah, I know, obviously not.
He didn't have cars in Yerushalayim.
Oh, for 40 days. For 40 days, it says. That's an unbelievable thing. By the way, Vidivar Hashem Eliyo, Atishbi Lehmor, the word of God came to Eliyo, and I'll be saying, Hara'iso, kinech. Have you seen that Achav has humbled himself in front of me? Yanki nechna mipanai, because he has done so. Lo avi harav yamav, I won't bring the evil in his days. V'may b'no avi harav bezo, in the days of his son, then I'm going to bring the evil upon his house. The unbelievable thing. He still did not abandon idolatry. He was still into it, but Azar still willing to do it.
Wait, where do we see that?
Where do you see what?
That he's gone to idolatry.
V'may b'no avi harav bezo.
Right, but doesn't mean
willing to do it.
Bizarre.
Willing to do it.
It doesn't mean that he is his son.
Doesn't the Midrash say that
the Miyamloi says, but he did not abandon idolatry, nor did he repent for any
of those. I once read in a Midrash that he did teshuva, and then when he went up to Shemaiah after he was killed in the war, that they put all of the words on one side, and then they put all of his teshuva on the other side, and it was even. And then the neshama of Nevels came out and went on his other side and tilted the scale.
Tilted it all.
He was sent to Gehenna forever, but he's in the fifth level of Gehenna, and he's the only person there who's not tortured every day because of his teshuva he did.
Huh.
That's what I read.
Fifth level. Which fifth level is that?
Out of 7.
I don't know, but Avadon is the lowest. I don't know what the fifth level is. That's awesome. Yeshu Shloshan, well, we'll see, because we're going to get to it too. Yeshu Shloshan and Melchama ben Aram, Ben Yisrael, they lived for 3 years. They were going on 3 years. There was no war between Aram and Ben Yisrael. So Akav, after giving him peace and everything like that, nonetheless, there was still a hatred, right, that Aram had for Akav, making him feel like a piece of garbage. It wasn't the third year that Yehoshaphat came down to the king of Israel. Yomelech Yisrael, of others, he said to his servants, don't you see that Ramos Gilad is ours? Right? We are being silent. We're not taking it from the hands of Aram. He said to Yehoshaphat, will you go with me to war to Ramos Gilad? Listen, like me is like you. If you want to do it, then I'll go with you. My people is like your people. My horses are like your horses. Whatever you want, that I'm willing to do. There was a friendship that was right there. Achav started gaining his confidence again and willing to go up, and that's the idea of what they were trying to do. Now, Ramos Gilad was taken a long time ago. It was taken by the times of Omri, by Achav's father. It had been overlooked the entire time, and even when he sent away the king of Aram, and he told the king of Aram to give us back the land that was ours, and we'll give you back the land that was yours, he still had never given it back. It still had not happened. Okay, now that. Yehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, why don't we ask the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Yehoshaphat still believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yehoshaphat was a good king, as we'll see. So why don't we ask what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants? Yehoshaphat Melech Yisrael in the Vim Ka'arba Meosish. The king of Israel gathered together 400 men, all the prophets that they had. Should I go to the Ramos Gilad Lamochama to war in Echdal, or should I not? That was the proper way of asking the Urim and Tumim, remember. You have to ask both sides, and you have to ask it very clearly. They said to Jerusalem, go up, Bayitein Adoni, Adonoi, Biad HaMelech. And Hashem will give it in the hands of the king. Notice that they said the words Adonoi is Aleph, Dalid, Nun, Yud, instead of Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. They were trying to point out that my master, referring to possibly Avodah Zarah together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is giving it over to them. Now, all these guys were fickle. They were false prophets. They were not real Nevi'im, and nothing like that. Achav knew, right? Achav knew that such people wouldn't be accepted in front of Yehoshaphat, so he faked it. He pretended like they were actual Nevi'im and put them inside over here. Is there no real Navi of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'nidrasham Yehoshaphat, that we can ask for him? Yeah, Yehoshaphat took one look at all of them. He knew that there's no way that all the prophets could be prophesying the exact same thing with the exact same words. That doesn't happen. There's got to be something wrong about this over here. There's got to be a style of speech. When everybody said, go up, it's in your hands, and everyone said it, he said that's wrong. In fact, he noticed something weird about Achav. Why are you calling 400 prophets? Just call one. Who's your number one prophet? Who's the leader? Who's the guy in charge?
Didn't you have to bring 400 to Carmel or Carmel?
That's correct. Yeah, I don't know if that's a connection. How many is this? Yeah, it was 400. But Yom HaMelech, 400 is always that number of the Tumah, okay. By the way. Yeah. The Yom HaMelech, he saw Yehoshaphat, the king of the
Yehoshaphat. How many were by Korach?
250, yeah, that's not there. Od ish echad lidrosh es Hashem me'oso. There's another man that we can ask for from the Vanis and Asif. But here he goes. Vanis and Asif, right? But I hate him. Kilo yisnabi alai tov ki'im ra. Right? He doesn't prophesy anything good for me, only evil. Michayu ben Yimla. It's Michayu ben Yimla. The funny thing is, Michayu ben Yimla wasn't so bad. He told them he was going to win the war. He told them things were going to be okay. It's not like Michayu said anything, but either way, Vayomer Yehoshaphat al Yomer HaMelech Kein. Don't say that. That's not the right thing to say. Vayikra Melech Zol Sarit Sechad, he called over a certain eunuch. Vayomer Ma'ara Michayu ben Yimla. Quickly bring over Michayu ben Yimla. He forgot all the good prophecies that Michayu had given him before. He just remembered the bad things altogether. Where was Elio and Avi? You know that Achav's not going to call Elio and Avi. You know Elio. Achav is no shaykh to Elio and Avi. That's not going to happen. Not going to call him over. Melech Yisrael v'Yoshaphat, Melech Yehuda Yoshin, Ishak Yisrael. They're each sitting on their throne. Melubashim begadim begoren. They were sitting with clothes, right, on the threshing floor. Patzach Shar Shomron by the gate of Shomron. V'chomen v'im yisnavim v'chan. The prophets were prophesying in front of them. Ayasalot Tzidkiyah ben Kenana. You guys got to remember this pasuk. Days of the day. And Bava Kama. Tzidkiyah ben Kenana brought out Karne Barzel, horns of iron. With these you will gore Aram until you destroy them. That was a sign of victory. Ox was, remember, the sign of, that belongs to the Shevet of? Yosef Atzadik, which is where Achav should have been from. Achav belonged to the tribe of Yosef Atzadik. He knew that that would be a good encouragement, and that's the idea behind it. That's the idea behind this was supposed to be. Tzidkiyah ben Kenana, we learn from him that Karen Telusha is still part of Karen. Meaning, if an animal picks up something and gores with the thing that it picked up, it's still considered Karen. That's what we learned from Achav, because Achav went ahead and did exactly that. Good stuff. Oh, I'm sorry. We learned from Tzidkiyah ben Kenana. But one of you, Nibim, Cain, Lamor, they're all saying the exact same thing, saying, God will give it in the hands of the king. The Malach that walked, that went to go call Michayu, he spoke to him saying, everybody's been saying good things to the king. You should say the same and speak only good. That's what Michayu was told to say by this guy. By the life of God, I'm going to say whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to say. Maybe they thought that since Michayu was angry about what had happened with Ben-Hadad, so he's going to take revenge by saying something bad and prophesy their destruction for that. The messenger said, you know what, give a favorable prophecy that everything will be okay, not knowing how Nevuah really goes. But Michayu looked at him and he's like, no. There's no way that's happening. Should we go there or should we not? Go and succeed, said Michayu, and God will give it into the hands of the king. See, Achav just said stuff like that, right? He said it in pure sarcastic form. Go and succeed, big king. You'll be fine, and everything's going to work out well. And that's how he said it. I see that you want what everybody else is giving you, so I don't think you have any problem whatsoever. I'm going to oblige. I'm going to say to you exactly what everybody else is saying. Just do whatever you want, and go ahead. But when I love him, the king says, how many times have I sworn to you that I only want the truth from the mouth of God?
So why only from him, and not from the other?
Right? No, it's all you. Because those guys, he knew were fake. I mean, Achav knew. It's just unbelievable. This is unbelievable. How many times have I said to you, it implies that he had done this before. It's unbelievable. But it's true. It's got to be that Michayu was purely sarcastic, and his tone must have been dripping with sarcasm. Going around and saying, just do what you want. But Yom Ra'isi has called Yisrael in the Fotim Al-Haran. He said, I have seen Bnei Yisrael scattered to the mountains. Katzon Hashem them raw like sheep that do not have a shepherd. Yom Hashem Lo'adunim Le'elan Hashem has said, these have no master. Yeshuv Yisrael Beis Hashem, everybody should return to his house in peace. That's what his nevuah was. The nevuah was, the master will die at war. Every Jew will run away and go home. Not one Jew will die in this battle except for Ahav. He is the only person that's going to die. And once this happens, right, they would be left in peace after Ahav was dead. Nothing else is going to happen. So Yom HaMelech is all Yoshafat, it says in Pasuk Yuchas. Hago Amarti Elecha, Lo Yisnabe Elai Tov Kim Ra. I've said to you already, he said to Yoshafat. I tell you, he only tells me bad things, he never tells me good. That's what he said. By Yom HaLachin Shema Dvar Hashem. And he said, this is Michayu, therefore listen to the word of God. When he says, Hashem Yoshafat, so I've seen God sitting on his throne. The Chol Tzvah Hashemayim Omen Delam Mimim Mitzvah, all the hosts of the heavens are sitting on his right and his left.
Anyone seen that? I mean, it's like a big thing
to say. Yeshaya. But this may have been his vision. It was a vision that he saw.
Sitting on the
Kisei HaKavod.
A vision.
Right? And that's what he saw.
Moshe can only see the back.
And the Malachim. We're not seeing something real. We're seeing the same thing Yechezkel and Yeshaya saw. The same exact thing.
This kind of thing is Yechezkel, I guess. Yechezkel's whole vision was that he was like a...
And the highest of Kodesh and the Swap of Yohanan.
What about this? This is just,
yeah,
like
this
a,
is just a side thing. Right. 100%. But Yom HaShem, Miyafat Ez Achav. So Hashem said, who will seduce Achav to get him to go to war? Miyal V'yipo B'Ramos Gilad. That way he'll fall by Ramos Gilad. But Yom HaShem, B'Kov V'Zelom R'Biko. Each Malach said one way of what they could do or what they could say and everything like that.
Vayetzi HaRuach. Is that Yom Kippur?
No. Lav Davka. Lav Davka.
Like, you know, we say that Piyot, like Bako or whatever. Bako.
Not that I know of. Not that I know of. No, and there's nothing over here that says that.
No?
I don't know what you're referring to either. But either way, but it says, Vayitza Ruach, the Ruach came out, and this is Navos. Navos, the spirit, came out. And he said, I'll do it. How are you going to do it? I will go out and become a spirit of folly, a lying nevuah, in the hands of all of his prophets, in the mouths of all of his prophets. And Hashem said, go and seduce. You're going to succeed. Go out and do this thing. Say is a bad word. Says the Gemara, say means get out of my mechitza, because anyone who speaks a sheker does not belong in a place of emes. So Nevos was not allowed back. That is the spirit of falsehood that is in the mouth of all your neviim. Eile, Hashem dibur alacharo, and Hashem is only thinking bad of what's going to be to you. It's all for your purpose, for you to be able to die in the middle of war. That's what's going to happen over here. So that's the idea behind it, and that's that. Tzidkio ben Kenana came up and slapped him on the cheek. Okay, so he said, where did the word of God, has the spirit of God gone away from me and gone to you? Since when does God speak to you instead of speaking to me? How would you know more than I know? Said Tzidkia to Michayu. You're going to see it yourself when you go inside a room, behind a room, to hide during this matter. That's the idea behind it. So that's the idea behind of what Michayu. Michayu said to Tzidkia, you know why you're going to hide? You're not afraid of Aram. That's not what you're afraid of. Aram is not going to kill you. You're going to be afraid of the people, because you led Ahab to go to war when he's clearly going to die in that war. Give him over to Amon, the general of the city of El Yoash ben Amelech, and to Yoash, the king's son. And you should say to him, this is what the king says, put him in jail, give him, you know, tiny amounts of bread and a little bit of water, until I come back in peace. If you come back in peace, God did not say anything to me. Then I am not a Navi and I deserve to die. And he said, hear, O the nations, all of you. That's what he said over here. So hear, all the nations, everything like that. I'm sorry, what did he say, Benyamin?
Why isn't Yehoshaphat stepping in and being like, whoa, maybe we shouldn't go to war, because he's a real Navi and he just said you're going to die?
It seems clear that Yehoshaphat, right, was going, he promised that he would support Akathar to be there, even though he thought Akathar was taking a mistake.
Why didn't Yehoshaphat bring his own Nevi'im? Yehuda must have had Nevi'im.
Maybe they didn't want to, or maybe he didn't feel. You're right. They definitely did. But the line over here is he didn't think it would be a sin for him to go because he had not been told not to go. Akathar was told he would die in war. Yehoshaphat was not. Yehoshaphat was not afraid of his life because Michayu clearly was only talking about Akathar, not anybody else.
And said and only Akathar.
And it seemed like that. It would be a sheep without a shepherd, which means everybody else is going to be okay. The people of Yehuda were going to be perfectly fine. The king of Israel said to Yehoshaphat, right? I will disguise myself when I go into battle. You should wear your clothing. He disguised himself so that no one would know he was Akab because he didn't want people thinking, listen, if I'm going to be killed, let me be killed with the rest of the army. But if they're just going to aim for me and kill me, then I don't want that to be. If the Navi is right, then they're going to be searching just for me. They're not going to go for anybody else. So he decided that it would be just another soldier, and that would be that.
He thought that Mithyahu was just like just had a vendetta against him, and look what's
about to happen. The king of Aram commanded the officers of the chariots, Asher Lo, Shloshim Ushnayim, 32 of them, way more, saying, Lo Tilach Mos Katzav Es Gadol, do not wage war with any one of them, small or big. Only the king himself. Akab was 100% right. The king only wanted to kill Akab. That's all he was, and that's it. Maybe that's the idea behind it, but they wanted to kill Akab first. It's possible they wanted to start a real war, but that's that.
I don't think
name our
children Michael. He seems like a great guy.
Yeah, Micha. We do. Micha.
Micha,
he's a different guy. But nonetheless, Micha and Michayu is the same thing as Yeshayahu. Right, 100%. It is. It's the question of Yud Kevod. Right. That's all it is, putting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name with them. But Michayu is the same thing as Micha. Yeah, Yechezkiyahu, exactly. Yechezkiyahu. But he's the king of Israel. Though when the Sari Arachim, they saw Yehoshaphat, they said, this is the king of Israel. So they turned to him to fight because they thought that Yehoshaphat is the guy that they have to chase after. They didn't realize it wasn't Akab. So Yehoshaphat cried out. When they saw that it wasn't the king of Israel, they stopped chasing him. Yehoshaphat realized that he was the one that everybody was going to assume that Akab was there. So Yehoshaphat knew that people might be fooled, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't. He literally thought that since God had not declared that he was going to die at war, he had nothing to worry about. He went out to war thinking he was going to be perfectly fine. Only when he suddenly found himself surrounded, in Divrei Yom it says, he cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that moment, he did the tefillah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to him and was able to accept it. Some say Yehoshaphat did deserve to die at that moment for supporting Akab, but because he was willing to cry out, he was saved, and that's what happened over there. That's that. Now, the Ish Moshach Bakeshes Lusumo, one man drew his bow without even aiming. He just drew his bow and let it fly. Now, Yakes Melch Yisrael bin Adzbakim, it hit the king of Israel right in between the armor, and nobody knew it was the king of Israel. One guy was just sitting like, whoa, didn't even know what happened. And Akab standing there, and it hit him right in between where the armor was. Right, Ubein Esirion. Vayomel Rakavu, and he said to his rider, his driver, turn around, get me out of here. I'm very sick. He immediately knew. It was unbelievable, and obviously straight Minashmaim that went through the chariot, right in the direct spot, when the guy had not aimed anything whatsoever. He didn't want the people to be disheartened, Akab. So he ran away from the war so that the people would not be able to see that something had happened over there. You know the guy who shot the arrow? His name is Naaman. Do you remember Naaman? He is the officer of what's it called, of Canaan or Aram, who ended up getting healed of his saras by Elisha.
Yeah.
That was the Naaman that's going to be later on. That's the idea behind
it. HaKhalesi, is that's injured?
I become sick.
It's interesting that you use that lashon.
Yeah, why it's going to be that way.
Hit by an arrow.
Very good call. 35, Lamed Hey. Batala Mokoma Bayamahu, the Milchama got very fearsome that gave Amalekha Yamamad Bemerkava Nokach Aram. King was propped up in the chariot facing Aram, right? And it looked like he was still alive. Bayom was better, but he died that evening. Bayitek Damamaka Ocheka Rechav. The blood of the wound poured out on the floor of the chariot. He was standing up as much as he could in order to make sure that the people saw him, that they knew that he was was still there. By Yavor Arena, by Melchot Machaneh, there was a cry that went through the camp, Kibor HaShemesh, as the sun set way more, saying, Ishal Iro v'Ishal Arzo, each man to their land, each man to their city. Some say that not a single one of them was killed. Some say that they had no idea that the king had actually died. Others say they just had very few casualties. The king died. They brought him to Shomron. They buried him in Shomron. They washed the chariot to the pool of the Shomron. And the dogs did lick its blood. And the zonas, they bathed in that area as well, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu had spoken. Some say that that chariot, so the reason why he suffered in that chariot is because there was a zona in the chariot. There were pictures of zonas in the chariot to warm up Asar. Well, obviously, paintings of what they had made inside there. And that warmed him up. And that's what the zonos refers to over here. It's to make him more lustful, etc. Others say that he literally had zonos with him inside the chariot itself. We'll stop right here, guys, right by Pasuk Lamed Tes. Lamed Tes over here. We'll finish this in Sarah Malachim Bayes.